venerable clerics and religious, we read in the gospel today that Jesus wept. He wept over the city of Jerusalem, which we know mystically stands in the place of all of mankind, or at least God's faithful. He wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "If thou hadst known in this day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but they are now hidden from thine eyes." This last phrase is the most frightening of all. This scene is one that is rather terrifying. We hate to see our Lord weep. The God-man overwhelmed with emotion. And this last phrase is the most terrifying. "They are hidden from thine eyes." Spiritual writers say that the most evil thing, that thing which is most to be feared, is a thing called spiritual blindness. Because it is by this spiritual blindness that we might have no longer the ability to see our sins and repent. Because we know that God is infinitely merciful. How many times have we all sinned? And we have sought forgiveness in the confessional. And our Lord has been quick to forgive. We know that there is no sin that cannot be forgiven if we seek forgiveness. But it is this spiritual blindness that is most to be feared. Because in this state, we would not even seek out forgiveness. We no longer have an awareness, a cognizance of our state. St. Paul in the epistle, he tells us, I believe, the most common way that this spiritual blindness may come about. Because it is not something that happens in an instant. We are not spiritually awake and attentive one moment, and then all of a sudden there's blinders put up. No, it is something that happens very gradually. And Satan, of course, knows this. He knows human nature perfectly. He knows that it is only by little and little that he can bring about the ruin of a soul. St. Paul says, "Do not become idolaters, even as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." And then he mentions the terrible sin of fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. And so there is that very typical sequence that is seen in souls. St. Paul points it out here, that a people begin to eat and drink and rise up to play. That is, they become entirely saturated with the things of this world. And again, this happens rather subtly. Typically, a person doesn't overnight become a party animal. No, the devil is much more clever. He sees what little attachments we might have. Simple attachments. They might be as simple as our vehicle. Maybe we love our car, we're overly concerned with buffing out any scratches, getting it detailed whenever we can. Well, we should take care of it. But are we too attached? Is it a thing that takes up too much of our time or our mental energy? Are we too attached? Could the devil use this or any other similar thing to lead us to the next step of material attachment? Because this is typically how it goes. We give in to our fallen nature's requests. We indulge. And this is perhaps a key word here. The world has no problem with this word, and in fact, very often it will encourage this word, indulge. You need to splurge a little. If you're feeling down, treat yourself. Indulge a little. And isn't it funny how that's very often the phrase, indulge a little. You need to handle that stress that's weighing you down. But it is this very indulgence that is so greedy. Again, we're led by little things, little indulgences. And they become such a part of our, almost as it were, our nature. We wouldn't even think about giving up these little indulgences. Well, there's nothing sinful about them, and perhaps that's true. Nothing technically sinful about the little pleasures in life, but we have to be wide awake, my dear friends in Christ. Wide awake, because it is this very indulgence that can lead us to that spiritual blindness, which is the absolute failure, the worst possible state that a soul can reach. It's very interesting. This is the experience of, I think, every priest. And it is written very often in spiritual books. When a person falls away from the Catholic faith, they apostatize, they leave the Catholic faith, very often there will be some sort of excuse. They don't agree with some doctrine or other, or the Catholic Church is bigoted or misunderstands people or is too rigid, whatever the excuse may be. Almost always, the reason that person left the Catholic Church is not for matters of doctrine, but it is rather because of indulgence. That soul is leading a life, has perhaps a lifestyle that is not consonant with the teachings of the Catholic Church. Almost always this is in matters of purity. They're not willing to give up these terrible indulgences. And so the excuses are made. Stop going to the sacraments, because what is the point if there's no purpose of amendment? After we stop going to the sacraments, it's not very long after that that we miss a Sunday or two because, well, we worked late or going out of town or whatever the reason. And then very shortly after that, we miss more Sundays and we miss that person altogether. And so, my dear friends in Christ, we should not, in this instant, be thinking of anyone besides ourselves, not making judgments or assumptions. No, we have to ourselves be so very careful. Faith is a gift, and it can be taken away from us if we do not have the grace to see. We see, again, that phrase in the gospel today, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. This is a sad commentary, I believe, on society right now. As a good friend, we were always remarking this sort of simple phrase, but it is so true. Sin makes you stupid. Again, commenting on society, we see insanity going on around us. Things that just simply don't make sense. They're saying 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore. And you ask yourself, how can this possibly be? Do these people have brains? But I think if we understand from Almighty God's perspective, sin has blinded them. Particularly these sins of the flesh, when we give in to those sins in particular, the mind becomes more and more like the brute beasts. And so we see the need to practice the virtue of purity, the virtue of modesty, to be a shining light in our present society. Do not give in for a moment to the norms that we see around us. The norms are immodesty and impurity. And so there is no wonder society is in such a bad way. But the marvelous thing is, we have these rather sobering thoughts. Jesus weeping over the sins of his people. St. Paul saying that there fell in one day 23,000. These are terrifying thoughts, but there is something marvelous. And that is the very fact that we can help. Beginning with our own spiritual life, we can make a difference. We can comfort Jesus in his sorrow by ourselves living a life pure and virtuous, by standing up for God's law whenever we can, encouraging chastity, the virtue of purity. And what is more, even beyond our example, we can make a difference by calling down grace from heaven. There's been a discussion amongst priests and religious for a long time. Isn't it a strange thing that there are no more contemplative religious orders? After the tragedy of Vatican Council II, we see the old contemplative orders, the Carmelites, the Benedictines, Dominicans, the Cistercians, those orders given particularly to prayer. Now, of course, every religious must be a warrior of prayer, but these orders were cloistered. They stayed in their convents or monasteries simply to pray. And why? Because we understand that grace is so necessary. It is essential. We must have the blessing of God on everything that we do. And it was these contemplative orders that I'm sure in great measure kept the world going. But my dear friends in Christ, that is where we must step up. We can make our homes, in a sense, a monastery or a convent. We're not expected to lead abnormal lives, no. But we can be prayerful. We can be virtuous. And in this way, fulfill that function that these orders did fulfill over all the centuries. Bring down grace from heaven for this poor, suffering world. So let us, rather than be discouraged or rather than be scared, set a fire beneath us. Let us be determined that we will do whatever we can to help, that we will comfort Jesus. And one last thought. We see our Lord weeping, and it is because of the sins of his people. And it's true that every person has sinned. And so we, in some measure, have been the cause of those tears. But what was the one place that our Lord could go, or rather the one person to whom he might go, where there was never cause for tears, but only joy and comfort? And that was, of course, with his Blessed Mother, Mary Immaculate Queen. Let us ask our Blessed Mother to form us, to make us more in our Lord's image, so that we never again be the cause of our Lord's tears. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.